Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
I've been watching a program recently called SAS Who Dares Wins. Has anyone seen this program? Yeah, few people, like myself, Andy and Steve, and a few of us, we've loved this program. The series has ended now, but it's just, it's an amazing program, and I've loved watching it, and thankfully Naomi's loved watching it as well. It's a really amazing program, but if you haven't seen it, basically what happens in the show is they take 25 civilians, and these people that apply to go on the show, and they put these 25 civilians through the most intense stages of SAS training. And there's a mixture, the people who apply, a mixture of people who are into going to the gym, but then as well, other people just from all different walks of life apply to go onto this program to see just how well they will do. And whenever me and Naomi watch it, sometimes we'll be like, oh, I wonder how well we would do, how far we would get. Because through the program, every contestant's wearing an armband. And if the person feels like they've got to their limit and the end of themselves, they just hand their armband in. And it's pretty brutal training, as you would expect, being like the SAS. But the reason I'm talking about this program is because whilst I was watching it, I found it fascinating because you literally see people getting pushed, not only to their physical limit, but their mental limit as well. And I found it so fascinating that I thought this program was just going to be about, you know, how well people can handle the physical side of this training. But a lot of it is the mental, the mental strength of people in this show. It's just a fascinating program. Anyway, but in the program, I've got a clip that I'm going to show you in a minute. But in the program, there's a woman in it called Vicky. And she makes it quite far in the show. But I found her story really inspiring because she shares within the program about how she has an experience in her life where she was with her sister on a boat. And when she was on the boat, it capsized. And she fell in the water and couldn't swim. And she was quite young. And she was in a situation where she was she couldn't swim and she had to rely on her sister to save her. But she shares about how it was a really shocking sort of time, experience in her life that created a lot of fear in her life. And so she had a phobia of water. Anyway, I'm going to play this clip and you'll see how she handles facing her fear of water.
The final recruit to undertake the ice drill is number 17, Vicky, who now has to face her ultimate fear.
Right, when you're ready, submerge yourself, make your way to the second ice hole.
I think you can waste a lot of mental energy thinking about others and comparing yourself to others. I'm thinking, how will I do my best? How will I compete against me and the demons in my head?
Oh. Chill out. What is the number on the helicopter you flew in on?
27.
Look at me. Okay, breathe normally. In your own time, when you're ready, make your way to the third ice hole.
I guess it's just the total loss of control. You have to put your whole faith in a completely unknown experience and a completely unknown outcome.
Let's move.
I love this program. Like the people who are doing the training, they are like ex-SAS military people, and it's just so funny because like they're just so brutal, like no sort of compassion at all. They just push people to the absolute limit. But what I loved about this is that you're seeing someone who's coming face to face, as it says in the program, with her ultimate fear. And I just love how she says that, like, when she's facing a fear, one of the things that she really struggled with was actually just putting a faith in herself and actually getting herself and stepping out into an unknown experience and into something which has an unknown outcome. And I don't know about you, but I would not like to try that. That's absolutely brutal. But anyway, so today I want to talk about the subject of fear. And my title for today is Breaking Fear. Breaking Fear. So that should come up. Breaking Fear. And the reason that I want to talk about this subject is because I'm sure that every single one of us has experienced fear in our lives before. Like, if you've experienced fear in your life, do you just want to raise your hand? Like, I wonder if any of you have come face to face with your fear just like this. Like, she had a phobia of water. She had to overcome it. And so, yeah, so we've all experienced some kind of fear in our lives before. And statistics are also pretty shocking when it comes to people who experience fear and anxiety and struggle with anxiety. So let me read a couple of statistics to you. In the UK, it's suggested that 1 out of 10 people are likely to have a disabling anxiety disorder at some stage in their life. And it also says that an estimated 3 million people in the UK suffer with an anxiety-related disorder. I don't know about you, but like those statistics are just crazily high. Like, there's a lot of people who suffer with anxiety, with worry, and I know that in our lives we can be very busy. We may not experience anxiety or an anxiety disorder, but we face pressure. We can face pressure day by day, and through those pressures we can experience fear and worry and concerns. And so this is why I wanted to talk about this subject today. And another reason why I wanted to talk about it is because I've personally gone through anxiety before. Whilst I was at secondary school, I really struggled with anxiety. I had something called agoraphobia, I really struggled to be in crowds of people, which meant I couldn't get on a bus or a train. Sounds silly, sounds crazy. I really struggled to go into a classroom, which is why I missed most of my year 11. And I thought that I was actually going to fail my GCSEs because I'd missed so much school and I was struggling so much with my anxiety. But thank God, God completely set me free from that anxiety. And so that's why I wanted to talk about this subject today. Now, I believe that God has got a destiny and a plan and a purpose for every single one of your lives. I truly believe that. Whether you know it or not, I want you to know that God has got a plan for your life, He's got a purpose for your life, and He's got, a destiny for your life. Now, that looks like different things. And I think part of being a Christian is figuring out, as you probably know, figuring out what is my calling? What is God asking me to do in my life? How is He asking me to use my life to sort of tell other people about Jesus and do work for Him? Because, our calling, it doesn't always look like, doing church stuff, but God has called us to our jobs. He's called us to speak to other people. He's called us to make a difference in our sort of sphere of influence, hasn't He? So God has given you a calling and a destiny over your life. But I believe that one of the things that the enemy will use, the devil will use to try and hold us back from doing everything, accomplishing everything that God has for us, is he's going to use fear and intimidation to try and hold you back. Because the last thing the enemy wants is for you to be someone who's courageous, who's confident, who's not afraid to tell other people about Jesus, who's not afraid to actually help people and to have an incredible influence on other people's lives for the glory of God. And so the enemy's going to try and hold us back. And I believe that one of the things he will use is fear. And as I was sharing that story about me when I was at secondary school, I truly believe that whilst I was at secondary school, the enemy was trying to hold me back with fear. Because when I experienced that anxiety, it controlled me. It felt like it just controlled me. I felt trapped inside my own head. I felt like I couldn't move forward at all. But this morning, I really believe that God is going to start to break fear, the power of fear in people's lives. And that's what I'm praying for this morning, yeah. That God will break the power of fear in your life. Yeah. And if you're someone who doesn't struggle with anxiety, and maybe, you know, you've never experienced that, please don't check out of what I'm sharing today. Yeah. Because I believe that when we're trying to pursue the calling of God, we're always going to come up against situations which are going to cause us to be fearful. Yeah. And like, you know, there's going to be situations where we're going to have to make a choice, either to back down, back away in fear, or we're going to push through, yeah, with the help of God. Yeah. I really believe that. So yeah, so God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And I love this. Joyce Meyer, she's an American preacher and pastor. And she says this, she writes, "Fear is a common way that Satan attacks people's lives. I think of it as a master spirit he uses to manipulate people and keep them out of God's will." So I want to talk about this because I want everyone in here, including myself, to be people who aren't held back, but actually we're going for it in God's will, yeah, and overcoming fear. As I was thinking about this message as well, there are so many like examples in the Bible of people who were asked by God to do something amazing, but they had to tackle fear. There are so many examples of that. And today I want to focus on the life of a person called Gideon. And I love the story of Gideon. And I'm going to share, we're going to read a bit about Gideon's life. But for Gideon, he was a man, to give you a bit of context, he was someone that was in the Old Testament. He existed whilst the Old Testament was sort of being written. And he existed sort of hundreds of years before Jesus was around. But in the Bible, his story is recorded in Judges 6. So if you could turn with me to Judges 6, we'll start from verse 11. I should come up on the screen as well. Brilliant. So the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." So here we see that God is calling Gideon to do something. So God, he comes to Gideon, and he says, "I've got a job for you. I want you to do something for me." At the time, the Israelites were under oppression. They turned away from God. The Israelites were God's people. And they turned away from God. And because they turned away from God, the enemies of Israel had overtaken them, the Midianites. And basically, Israel, the nation of Israel, they were under oppression. So like in our country, you can imagine, not that it's ever happened, thank you. Imagine if another nation was like ruling our nation. That's what they were experiencing. So when God comes to Gideon, he's like hiding in fear. He's basically hiding in fear. He doesn't want to do what God's asking him to do. Anyway, the next scripture, Judges 7, 15, 21. It's another long one. Hold on in there with me. Judges 7, 15, 21. He says, It says, he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. This is Gideon. Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of a camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and 100 men with him reached the edge of a camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. So that section that I just read, that's from like the end of Gideon's story, when Gideon, he's called by God to rise up to fight his enemies. In the last bit, you see that God gives him a victory with just 300 men. With just 300 men. And so I want to look at the reason I want to look at the life of Gideon is because we see a transformation in his life. We see this transformation in his life and a transformation I hope will take place in our lives as well. Because when God first went to Gideon, he doubted himself. God was asking him to do something and he doubted himself. He didn't think he could do what God was calling him to do. But God gave him the strength, gave him the ability, called him to lead and to do something incredible for his nation. And he rose up as a leader and God helped him and gave him victory over his enemies. And he accomplished what he was called to do. But the trouble is, to do all of that, he had to go through his fear. He had to face his fears. Just like Vicky in this SES video, he had to face his fears so he could do everything God was calling him to do. We're going to have times in our life where we're going to have to face our fears if we're going to do and live in the calling that God has given to us. I truly believe that. And so in this message, I've got a few things that I want us to learn from the life of Gideon. And as I was reading it, these sort of three things stood out to me. But also, I would say the three things that I want to talk about today are also things that, like, when I was really struggling with anxiety, I put into place. But also, like when I experience fear again in my life, I'm able to draw on these sort of methods of being able to cope with the fear. So the first point I want to make this morning is that if we're going to break fear in our lives, we need to know our true identity. Know your true identity. And it says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Like, when God went to Gideon, Gideon had a problem. Like I said before, Gideon, like, he didn't believe in himself. He didn't trust himself. I don't know about you, but I wonder if you've ever had a time where you've doubted yourself, or you know that you've needed to do something, but you don't know if you've got the strength to do it. And this is a situation that Gideon was in, and this is why I love this story, because when God goes to him, he's hiding in fear, he's hiding in a wine press, trying to get himself a little bit of food. But what's funny is that, like, when God goes to him, God isn't like, why are you being fearful? What are you playing at? Come on, Gideon, sort yourself out. But actually, instead, Gideon comes to him and he's like, mighty warrior. Yeah. And I believe that God was trying to call something out of Gideon that was within him, that he had within him, that he didn't know about. Yeah. Yeah. God had to tell Gideon who he truly was so he would start to believe, you know what? Yeah, I am a mighty warrior and I am going to rise up and I'm going to do something about this situation. You know, God, we need to know who we are if we're going to rise up and do incredible things for God. So Gideon needed to know his true identity. Like, he wasn't acting like a mighty hero, but God told him he was a mighty hero. And like Gideon, he didn't just doubt himself a bit. Like he was in the pits, I would say, in a way. Because when you read Judges 6:15, it says, Gideon says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Like, he didn't see himself in a very good way, did he? Like, he didn't just say I'm weak. He was like, I'm the weakest in my family, and I'm the weakest in my country. Like, he didn't see himself well. And I just wonder, who told him that? Like, who told him that he was weak? Because it wasn't God, was it? Like, I wonder if it was the circumstances around him. Maybe he'd been in a few situations where he felt weak and he started to doubt himself. Or I wonder if people around him were just saying negative stuff to him and saying, oh, you know what, Gideon, you are weak, you're nothing, what can you do? But Gideon had to stop listening to the things that people were saying about him. He had to stop doubting himself, and he had to start relying and standing on the word of God, God who was saying and calling him a mighty hero. This morning, I wonder, how do you see yourself? How do you view yourself? It's so important that we see ourselves as God sees us. And it's not always easy to do that. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for Gideon to actually change the way that he thought. But you know, God instructs us, like, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Gideon had to change the way he thought about himself. So this morning, I wonder how you see yourself. Have you allowed certain situations and certain things to see you, like, to affect how you see yourself? I wonder if people have put you down. I wonder if this morning, if there's a situation where you just feel like just rubbish about yourself, and you think, you know, because that's happened, like, how can I do anything good? How can I do anything good? You know, maybe your family, people around you, maybe growing up have made you feel a certain way, or may cause you to think about yourself in a negative way. I don't know what's caused you, perhaps, to see yourself in a bad way, if you do see yourself in a bad way. But we need to be people who are defined by God's word. Like, I need to be someone who's defined by the word of God and nothing else. I need to find my identity in him. I believe we all do. And yeah, and just as I was preparing this, I really felt like God just gave me a word. And I really believe that God gave me a word that someone in here sees himself as a complete failure. And I felt it was just really important to say to you that God does not see you. If you feel like a complete failure this morning, I want you to know God does not see you as a failure. He does not. He does not call you a failure. But God calls us mighty conquerors. We can be a mighty conqueror in him. And we can know that we're a mighty conqueror because he loves us. God loves you this morning. If you see yourself as a failure, you need to reject that lie. That's not God. God's not making you feel like a failure, but the enemy is. Maybe situations are, but I want you to know you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Okay, so let's understand who we are in God. So if you feel weak this morning, God says you are strong. If you feel rejected, God says that we are his sons and daughters. If you feel like a failure, God says you are victorious. If you feel worthless, God says you've been bought with a price and you're precious in his sight. If you feel timid this morning, God says he's given you power and a sound mind so you don't have to be timid anymore. But to break the power of fear in our life, we need to know our true identity, just like Gideon. And I think that there must have been a moment in Gideon's life where he was like, you know what? If God's going to call me a mighty hero, I'm going to start acting like one. And I think we can limit ourselves to the way we see ourselves. And that's why it's so important that we see ourselves as God sees us, so we can accomplish everything he's calling us to be. Yeah. So to break fear, we need to know our identity. Yes. The second thing that I wanted to share from this story is that God is with you. Yes. Turn to this person next to you and say, God is with you. God is with you. If we're going to break fear, we need to know that God is with us. Coming back to my story when I was in secondary school, I remember times where, I know it sounds silly, but there were times when I would get on a bus to go to college, And that was like one of the hardest things for me to do. Because once I got on the bus and I was traveling to college, I felt like trapped. But I remember when I was starting to like face my fear, I found my faith in God and I started to face my anxiety. I remember just thinking to myself, actually, like, God is with me. God is with me in this situation. I've got no reason to be afraid. And I love that word that Becky shared before, that like, if you're experiencing illness today, you don't need to be afraid because God, he's with you this morning. He's with you always. But again, I think for Gideon, like Gideon, he needed to know that God was with him. I'm just going to take a drink. He needed to know that God was with him. If he was going to face his enemies, if he was going to become the man that God was calling him to be. And again, there are so many examples when God asked someone to do something that he told him, I'm with you, don't be afraid, I'm with you. I can think of like Moses, absolutely love the story of Moses. But for Moses, God had to remind him. He said, like, God asked Moses to go back to Egypt and God had to remind him, like, I'm with you. I'm going to go with you, so you don't need to be afraid. We've been looking at Joshua crossing over into the promised land, and God had to remind him constantly, I'm with you. Like, I'm for you. I'm going to help you, so do not be afraid. Be courageous, because I'm with you. This morning, I want you to know whatever situations you're experiencing, whatever struggles you're battling with, whether you're battling with fear or you're battling with just stresses and worries, I want you to know this morning, God wants to encourage you that he's with you and he's for you and you do not need to be afraid. But be courageous. Don't allow fear to have you. Like, we can feel fear, but we don't need to allow fear to control us because God is with us. God is with you this morning. So, you know, for young people, if you're facing exams, God is with you. Or if you're having trouble at work, God is with you. Or if you're worried and scared about your children and worried for them, you want them to know God, remember, God is with you, he's for you. If you're struggling with money this morning, then I want you to know that those situations may be very stressful, but know that God is with you, and I believe that he can help give you a solution to that problem when we rely on him. So yeah, this morning, I want you to know that God is with you. And there's two times, when you look at the story of Gideon, he reminded him twice, I am with you. And like, I really believe that like Gideon needed to know that, especially when I go on to the next bit. Gideon really needed to know in that moment, you know what, I can do this. I can do whatever God's calling me to do. Because God, he's got me, he's got my back and he's with me. So I want to encourage you. Maybe I want to pray this morning that if you don't really ever sense God with you, I want to pray this morning that you would sense that God is with you this morning. But what could you do? I wonder how could you remind yourself that God is with you? There's an amazing scripture and in Deuteronomy 31:6 that says, God says, do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Like, who thinks that's just an amazing promise? Yeah. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, no matter what happens in your life, I will never leave you or forsake you. So yeah, maybe you could stick that somewhere. Stick it somewhere you can remind yourself every morning. Or maybe memorize that scripture. Maybe that could remind you that God is with you today. The last thing I want to share is that if we're going to break the power of fear, we need to know that God is with us, but we also need to do it in God's strength and not our own.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of stuff that we can try and sort out just in our own strength. But we need to be people who not just try and do, we don't just try and do stuff in our strength, but we do stuff with the help of God. And this, like, it's massively emphasized in this story with Gideon as well. So for Gideon, God, like, I think Gideon does an amazing job. God says, come on, stop hiding there. I want you to be a leader. So he gets out of that place. He rises up, becomes a leader. And then in the story, we see that Gideon, he gathers himself a big army. Obviously, he's got to go to war. So he asks people, come on, help me out. Let's go to war. And he gets an army of 33,000 men. So Gideon does a great job at getting people together. And he steps up. He rises above his fear. But I almost feel sorry for Gideon, because when Gideon gets to that point, I've got my 33,000 men. Come on, let's go for it. We're going to go to war. We're going to beat our enemies. We're going to sort stuff out. But in that moment, God then turns around and says to him, I'll read the scripture. He says to him, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. I don't know about you, but I never heard like Churchill say, we've got too many men, we can't go to war. Like, I don't think anyone has ever said, we've got too many people to go to war with. But for some reason, God being God, his ways being higher than our ways, he says, you've got too many men. And so he turns around to Gideon and he says, you need to get rid of these people. You know, send some men home. So Gideon, he sends men home and he ends up with just 300 men. Yeah, he ends up just having 300 men in the end. But let me just emphasize the fact that Gideon had 300 men. He was going to war against an army of 135,000 men. I don't know about you, but I would have been scared. And to be honest, I would like to say that I would have been with Gideon and I would have been like, come on, 300 men, we're going to go for it. We're going to defeat these guys because God is with us. But I'll tell you what, I'd probably be like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Like, what? I don't know how God is going to do this. I don't know what he's going to do. But like in that video of Vicky, she says it's so hard to step out into your fears when you don't know the outcome. But the thing is, unlike Vicky, we can have more confidence than her, because we can have confidence in things which are unseen. We have a confidence that God, you know, when we step out in our fears, step out and rise above situations that are holding us back, we know that God is with us, he's for us, and he's going to give us victory, just like he gave Gideon victory. I'm going to come to an end very shortly. But yeah, so Gideon, he goes to war, he's got 300 men, and he was probably very afraid. But I think when I read this and I was thinking about it, I think that God wanted to teach Gideon a lesson. I think he wanted to teach Gideon a lesson, and he wanted to teach the people of God a lesson. I think God was challenging Gideon to place his full life, his trust, and his dependency upon God. He wanted Gideon to be in a place where he was like, there's no way. I can't do this on my own. I need God. I need God. And I don't know about you, but I think for me, like, I don't know how comfortable I feel when God is challenging me to put my full trust and dependence on him. I don't know about you, but for a lot of the time, I'm happy to put a bit of my dependence on God. I'll lean on him a bit. But for Gideon, like, he was literally asking God to carry him. Like, I'm comfortable leaning on him a bit. I'll trust him with that. But it's very difficult and it's challenging to put like your full trust and your life in God's hands. And that's literally what Gideon was doing. Like, if God didn't pull through, he was dead. His men were dead. But he had to trust and rely on God. And this morning, I think God's inviting you to put your full trust and your dependence and your life in his hands. It is the scariest place we could be, but it's also the safest place we could be. Because just in the story of Gideon, he goes to war with 300 men, and at the end we see that they blow the trumpets, they break the jars, it puts the Midian army into confusion and into fear, and they basically have victory over their enemies. This morning, I believe God wants to give you victory over your enemies. I'm not talking about people, but I'm talking about things that may be holding you back, worries, fears, maybe pressures that you feel are just holding you back. I believe that God is inviting you, put your trust, put your life in my hands. God's asking you, put your life in my hands. Yeah. Trust me, because I'm not going to let you down. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So this morning, if we're going to be people who break our fears, we need to be people who know our true identity. It's one of the most important things we need to do as Christians, experiencing fear or not. We need to know our identity in God, and we find that from reading the Word of God. To overcome our fears, we need to break the power of fear in our life. We need to know that God is with us. That's His promise to us. Scripture promises that God is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Know that this morning. And lastly, to break the power of fear in our life, we need to break our fear in God's strength, trust in Him and not in our own strength. We can trust God this morning. That's the good news that we've got. You may be thinking, how can I trust God? How can I place my trust in Him more? I think that's the easiest way to do it is just to pray. To pray to Him, to spend time with Him. You know, the Bible tells us to commit our worries, our anxieties to God, because God cares for us. So I just want to come into a time of prayer right now. And I'd just like to ask if you're able and willing, if just to stand where you are. Just to stand where you are, yeah, great. And I want to pray for us, but I just want to ask everyone, just out of respect, just to close your eyes, to bow your heads. And I just want to pray for people in this room. I want to pray if you've experienced anxiety, or you feel like the way I used to feel, controlled by anxiety, and you have that fear in your life, I'd just like to ask you just to raise your hand just so I know who I'm praying for. Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. I just want to pray for you right now. God, we pray against the stronghold of anxiety. God, we pray against it. Jesus, I thank you that you give us no reason to fear. And I want to pray for the people who have put their hands up this morning, Lord Jesus. We command that the power of fear be broken in their lives. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we have no reason to fear, God, because you are with us. I thank you that we have no reason to fear, Jesus, because you gave your life on the cross. You defeated evil. You defeated the schemes of the enemy and the fear that tries to control us. Jesus, we pray against fear in those people's lives. Lord Jesus, I just pray for these individuals who have responded. God, would you give them strategies as to how to overcome their fear? God, I pray that as they walk and come closer to you, Lord Jesus, I pray that they find an ability to trust you in their fear. When they feel overwhelmed, Lord Jesus, I pray that they be able to trust you in those situations. God, I pray that we're going to have testimonies coming up in the future where people are saying, you know what? I was anxious, but now I'm not afraid. I was anxious, but I've overcome it. I've broken it. I've faced my fear, and I'm thankful to a God who has helped me to overcome my fear. Lord Jesus, we just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.